The discernment of spirits. After someone has entered into a relationship with God, they begin a journey that will hopefully end up in heaven. There are many ups and downs in the spiritual life, and learning how to navigate them is a key part of our growth in holiness. When we give our lives to God, we are really saying, "I give everything to you, I give everything to you, and want to do your will in all things." Of course, we need to know what God's will is for our lives and how to respond wholeheartedly to it. We will encounter obstacles to God's actions in our life from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and learning to identify these and combat them is crucial to our progress in the spiritual life and in the life of virtue. Saint Ignatius of Loyola was born in Spain towards the end of the 15th century, and after his dramatic conversion from a life of loose living, he went on to found the Jesuit order. He was a talented spiritual director and wrote down much of the wisdom he gained about the way the spiritual life works in his so-called spiritual exercises. In those spiritual exercises, Ignatius developed a set of rules or guidelines that help us to discern the action of God and the action of the enemy in our spiritual life and give us strategies for dealing with them. His first set of 14 rules talks about the tactics that are used by God and our enemy, the devil, to lead us either into holiness and virtue or away from it. If we are moving away from a good way of life, the enemy presents attractions and false comforts to us, while the good spirit nags at our conscience. When we are moving towards God, we find peace and joy, but we are disturbed by the bad spirit who bites us, saddens us, and opposes us with obstacles and false reasons. If we are on the right track, most of our spiritual life will fluctuate between consolation from God and desolation from the enemy. St. Ignatius says that consolation occurs when some interior movement of the soul is caused, through which the soul comes to be inflamed with love of its Creator and Lord. And he describes desolation as darkness of soul, disturbance in it, movement to things low and earthly, the unquiet of different agitations and temptations, moving to want of confidence, without hope, without love, when one finds oneself all lazy, tepid, sad, and as if separated from his Creator and Lord. Ignatius advises us never to make a change to our spiritual practices during a time of desolation. The only kind of change that helps, he says, is when we increase our spiritual practices, for example, praying more, fasting, and doing penance. In fact, it's a good idea to be wary of making any major changes in our lives while we are feeling despondent. When we are in desolation, Ignatius tells us to remember that even though we don't clearly perceive God's presence, he's still there. It's a tactic of the enemy to make us think, when we are in desolation, that it has always been this way and always will be. We should always resist desolation, be patient, and remember that consolation will return again soon. On the other hand, he also warns us not to be complacent when we are in consolation, not to, as he puts it, build a nest in the consolation or take it for granted. Instead, he reminds us that at some point we will experience desolation again, so we should take strength from the consolation we experience at the current time and be humble and attentive to God's movements in our life. The main thrust of Ignatius' advice, whether we are in consolation or desolation, is to trust in God's strength, not in our own weak human strength. Ignatius explains that there are three main reasons why we might experience desolation. The first may be because we have become lazy, tepid, or negligent about our spiritual exercises or practices. Are we praying less? Have we fallen away from praying the rosary or going to Mass or confession? Have we given up some penance that we had decided to do, like fasting, for example? If so, perhaps that's the reason we are experiencing desolation. The second reason God may allow desolation is to test us, to see how faithful we are when we do not have the comfort of constant consolation. And the third reason is so that we don't become too comfortable or proud or think that we are in control of our spiritual progress. Sometimes God allows desolation to teach us that He is in charge, that all spiritual benefits come from Him and are not the results of our stunning levels of sanctity. Ignatius explains the insights he has gained about how the enemy works when he is tempting us to despondency or sin. He says that the enemy is a lot weaker than he appears and will back down and flee if he is opposed strongly. However, if we don't come against him stout-heartedly, or if we lose heart in opposing the temptation, as Ignatius says, there is no beast so wild on the face of the earth as the enemy of human nature in following out his damnable intention with so great malice. Another useful pearl of wisdom that Ignatius conveys to us in his rules is the fact that the enemy would love for us to keep his actions secret. When we are tempted to sin, or even when we do sin, the enemy doesn't want us to tell anyone about it. He doesn't like being exposed. As Ignatius puts it, when the enemy of human nature brings his wiles and persuasions to the just soul, he wants and desires that they be received and kept in secret. But when one reveals them to his good confessor, or to another spiritual person that knows his deceits and evil ends, it is very grievous to him, because he gathers from his manifest deceits being discovered that he will not be able to succeed with his wickedness begun. The enemy of our soul is very crafty and clever. He looks for our weak points and exploits them. Ignatius likens him to the captain of an army who has pitched his camp outside a fort. He stalks round it, looking for weak defences, and when he finds the most vulnerable spot, that's where he attacks. Here's how Ignatius describes our enemy's tactic. The enemy of human nature, roaming about, looks in turn at all our virtues, theological, cardinal, and moral, and where he finds us weakest and most in need for our eternal salvation, there he attacks us and aims at taking us. If you have never come across St. Ignatius's rules before, it can seem odd to talk about the spiritual life in such clinical and even military terms. But these rules or guidelines or descriptions have been used fruitfully by thousands of people over the course of centuries, and have proved to be surprisingly helpful in equipping people to navigate the spiritual life. Many of us are unused to dealing with God and the enemy in this way, but basically these rules are teaching us a way of relating to God that must have come naturally to Adam and Eve before the fall. When you think about it, it's also how Jesus approached his ministry when he had to deal with the tactics of the evil spirits. Jesus himself tells us to be cunning as serpents and innocent as doves. And these rules of Ignatius equip us to do just that. Let's pray and ask God's help to navigate the spiritual life. Jesus, you gave us your Holy Spirit in baptism so that we could have the means and the power to lead holy lives. Help us to be wise, to detect and combat the work of the enemy in our lives, and to be attentive always and only to your voice, calling us to go deeper into your heart of love. Give us the grace to lead a holy life, so that in the end we may spend eternity with you in heaven. Amen.